Pointed singers and the pilots of the demigods. Siddha, the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, who have all mystic powers. Vibhuda Anugaha, the Kinnaras. Yay, those who? Deva, the demigods. Asurebhyaha, than the Asuras. Magavat Pradhanaha, headed by Indra. Daksha Adayaha, beginning with Daksha. Brahmasutaha, the direct sons of Brahma. To them. Desham, of them. Babaha, Lord Shiva. Paraha, the best. Saha, he, Lord Shiva. Ata, moreover. Virin Chafiryaha, producing from Lord Brahma. Saha, he, Brahma. Matpadaha, my devotee. Aham, I. Vijadeva Devaha, a worshipper of the Brahmanas, or the Lord of the Brahmanas. So, translation of the two energies manifest, spirit and dull matter, beings possessing living force, vegetables, grass, trees, and plants, are superior to dull matter, stone, earth, etc. Superior to non-moving plants and vegetables are worms and snakes, which can move. Superior to worms and snakes are animals that have developed intelligence. Superior to animals are human beings, and superior to human beings are ghosts because they have no material bodies. Superior to the ghosts are the Gandharvas, and superior to them are the Siddhas. Superior to the Siddhas are the Kinnaras, and superior to them are the Asuras. Superior to the Asuras are the demigods, and of the demigods, Indra, the king of heaven, is supreme. Superior to Indra are the direct sons of Lord Brahma, sons like King Daksha, and supreme among Brahma's sons is Lord Shiva. Since Lord Shiva is the son of Lord Brahma, Brahma is considered superior, but Brahma is also subordinate to me, the supreme personality of Godhead. Because I am inclined to the Brahmanas are the best of all. You can repeat. Of the two energies manifest, spirit and dull matter, beings possessing living force, vegetables, grass, trees, and plants, are superior to dull matter. Stone, earth, etc. Superior to non-moving plants and vegetables. Are worms and snakes. It can move. Superior to worms and snakes. Are animals that have developed intelligence. Superior to animals are human beings. And superior to human beings are ghosts. Because they have no material bodies. Superior to ghosts are the Gandharvas. And superior to them are the Siddhas. Superior to the Siddhas are the Kinnaras. And superior to them are the Asuras. Superior to the Asuras are the demigods. And of the demigods, Indra, the king of heaven, is supreme. Superior to Indra are the direct sons of Lord Brahma. Sons like King Daksha. And supreme amongst Brahma's sons is Lord Shiva. Since Lord Shiva is the son of Lord Brahma. It's actually Shiva, not Shiva. just tell you all about the proper pronunciation. It was, if it was Shiva, that actually is the name of a jackal in Hindi. So it's Shiva, just because it's a short I. Most devotees mispronounce. Brahma is considered superior. But Brahma is also subordinate to me. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because I'm inclined to the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas are best of all. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this verse, the Brahmanas are given a position superior to that of the Supreme Lord. The idea is that the government should be conducted under the guidance of the Brahmanas. Although Rishabhadeva recommended his eldest son Bharata as emperor of the earth, he still had to follow the instructions of the Brahmanas in order to govern the world perfectly. The Lord is worshipped as Brahmanya Deva. The Lord is very fond of devotees or Brahmanas. This does not refer to so-called caste Brahmanas, but to qualified Brahmanas. A Brahmana should be qualified with the 8 qualities mentioned in text 24, such as Shama, Dhamma, Satcha, and Tatiksha. The Brahmanas should always be worshipped and under the guidance, their guidance. The ruler should discharge his duty and rule the citizens. Unfortunately, in this age of Kali, the executive is not selected by very intelligent people, nor is he guided by qualified Brahmanas. Consequently, chaos results. The mass of people should be educated in Krishna consciousness so that according to the democratic process, they can select a first-class devotee like Bharat Maharaj to head the government. If the head of the state is headed by qualified... The head of the state is headed by qualified Brahmanas, everything is completely perfect. In this verse, the evolutionary process is indirectly mentioned. The modern theory that life evolves from matter is to some extent supported in this verse because it is stated, Bhuteshu Virudhyaha. That is, the living entities evolve from vegetables, grass, plants, and trees, which are superior to dull matter. In other words, matter also has the potency to manifest living entities in the form of vegetables. In this sense, life comes out of matter, but matter also comes out of life. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 10th chapter, text 8, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. There are 2 energies, material and spiritual, and both originally come from Krishna. Krishna is the supreme living being. Although it may be said that in the material world a living force is generated from matter, it must be admitted that originally matter is generated from the supreme living being. Nityam nityanam chetanash chetananam. The conclusion is that everything, both material and spiritual, is generated from the Supreme Being. From the evolutionary point of view, perfection is reached when the living entity attains the platform of a Brahmana. A Brahmana is a worshipper of the Supreme Brahman, and the Supreme Brahman worships the Brahmanas. In other words, the devotee is subordinate to the Supreme Lord, and the Lord is inclined to see to the satisfaction of his devotee. A Brahmana is called Vija Deva, and the Lord is called Vija Devadeva. He is the Lord of the Brahmanas. The evolutionary process is also explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 19, wherein it is said that there are 2 types of living entities, moving and non-moving. Among moving entities, there are birds, beasts, aquatics, human beings, and so on. Of these, the human beings are supposed to be the best, but they are very few, are few. Of these small numbers of human beings, there are many low-class human beings like Malachas, Pulindas, Bodhas, and Shabaras. The human being elevated enough to accept the Vedic principles is superior. Among those who accept the Vedic principles, generally known as Varnashram, presently known as the Hindu system, few actually follow these principles. Of those who actually follow the Vedic principles, most perform fruitive activity or pious activity for elevation to a higher position. Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yadati sidaye. Out of many attached to fruit of activity, one may be a jnani, that is, one philosophically inclined and superior to the karmis. Yatatama visidanam kaschid maam veti tatvataha. Out of many jnanis, one may be liberated from material bondage, and out of many millions of liberated jnanis, one may become a devotee of Krishna. So, Om Ganatim Adangasha Ganan Janash Lakaya Chakshura Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, of course, these are the instructions of Lord Rishabhadev to his sons, and it's interesting to note that of Lord Rishabhadev's sons, of course, Bharat Maharaj is the head. He becomes the king, as Prabhupada mentions here. And then after Bharat Maharaj, there is the Navayogendras, and these are the nine sages who are preaching Krishna consciousness. And then there's also nine Kshatriyas, other Kshatriyas. And the rest are ritualistic Brahmanas, which is interesting, because Prabhupada here sort of puts down ritualistic Brahmanas in his purport. You know, those who are just interested attached to fruit of action. He says, many attached to fruit of action, one may be a jnani. So in other words, even Lord Rishabhadev, although he's preaching all this stuff, actually it's a minority of his sons who really get it, which is interesting if you think about it. So the basic point of this verse is that the brahmanas are the superior personality. So let's try to understand, first of all, what a brahman is, and also why a brahmana should be superior. I mean, in other words, have more power in the varnashram system. You know, why the kshatriya should take direction from the brahmanas rather than just use the brahmanas as their official priests. Okay. So a brahmana, let's try to understand what a brahmana is. I mean, we know that there's mukya and gona. There's primary qualities and there's secondary qualities of a brahmana. The primary quality is the direct definition of the word brahmana, which means one who knows Brahman. That's really why a brahmana is called a brahmana. He's not called just a ritualistic person. He's called one who knows Brahman. So Brahman can have any one of three aspects, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagwaniti, Sabhyate. You understand? Either the energy, you know, the impersonal Brahman, or the Paramatma, or Bhagawan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his multifarious expansions, or incarnations, or avatars, or whatever you may call it. So, someone who knows at least one of those, if not several of those aspects. Of course, the devotee knows all three. Yasmin vigate, sarvamevam vigatam bhavati, as the statement goes. One who knows Krishna knows everything. So he knows all three of these different aspects. Not necessarily he's meditating on all three. A devotee doesn't necessarily meditate. He doesn't meditate on the Brahman effulgence. And as far as the Paramatma, he's aware of the Paramatma, but still he's engaged in service to Bhagavan. But in any case, even someone who's absorbed in Brahman is considered a Brahman. You know, someone who's actually devoted to teaching about Brahman. So that's the direct definition. And so the secondary qualities are listed here. Actually, Prabhupada mentions them, some of them in the purport here. Sama, dhamma, satya, titiksha. You know, being equipoise, self-control. Of course, telling the truth and tolerance, which is interesting. Actually, tolerance is quite an interesting thing. I was talking about that yesterday with some devotees about titiksha, tolerance. Because what does it mean to tolerate? Well, let's give the example of a card game. Anyone here ever play cards? You know, like canasta or poker or something. stuff like that. So then what you do is you shuffle the cards. Anyone ever shuffle cards? You go like that. You shuffle the cards, and then you give someone their deck, right? Isn't that what it's called? Shuffle the deck, or give someone the hand. I'm sorry, I got the nomenclature wrong. The deck is the whole bunch of cards. And your hand is what you get, right?
Uh-huh.
Hand is what you get. And then you look at your hand and you say, oh, God. Or you look at your hand and you're happy, but you have to have what's called a poker face. You know the poker faces? I mean, you don't show it on. You make believe you got a bad hand. So you can actually increase the bets or whatever you're going to do and win. So it turns out that life deals us a hand. And I'm not talking simply about cards. You know, how many cards in the deck? 52, is that right? Okay. It's been so many years since I've played cards. But I don't even remember. I mean, people nowadays, they just have these iPads and they play card games on them. In the airport, you know, people are flying in the airplane and just playing cards with each other, you know. Or old ladies, they get together, isn't it? And they sit around a table and they play canasta. I don't even know what canasta is, but anyway, some sort of game. Just wasting their human form of life. So, anyway, getting back to the point, the reason I'm giving this a metaphor of card games, that life actually deals us something. Of course, it's not simply by chance. Neither in cards is it by chance either. Nothing happens by chance. You know, if you get a really bad hand, that's not by chance. You know, even though the scientists say it's by chance, it's just bad karma. Or it's Krishna's plan. I remember when I was young, I played card games, and I always got a bad hand. And I was wondering, you know, what's wrong with me? And I always lost. And then I really understood that Krishna didn't want to addict me. So he made this arrangement that I always lost. Krishna makes that arrangement for people that they lose when they try material things, so they don't get attached to it. You know, just like even when I was young, I tried to do sporting activities. I was lousy at it, so I didn't get attached to that. And, you know, practically everything except for academics. Then, you know, just like, and I was thinking, you know, what the hell's going on here, you know? But now, in retrospect, you know, what do they say, hindsight is 20/20. In retrospect, you can actually see, you know, it was a good thing that I didn't become a football player or an athlete. And even though my father was a famous tennis player, I was thinking, why didn't I become one? You know, anyway. Because you get attached to these things. So Krishna takes away when he wants you to be a devotee. So, anyway, so we're given these hands, our cards, you know, what do they say, the stars, whatever way you want to express it. And it's not by chance. It's not by chance, you know, there's an arrangement, you know, it's karma, you know, ultimately it's Krishna. And many times we get upset with these hands that we've been dealt, right? You know, why the hell did I get this hand? You know, like I was speaking to one devotee last night, and he was, you know, he's dealt a hand that, anyway, his body is different than everybody else's. So he was angry. I said, do you ever experience anger? He said, yes, sometimes I experience anger. And then, you know, it's ultimately anger at Krishna, do you know that? Ultimately, you're getting angry at God for dealing you the hand. And you're not trusting the supreme card dealer in the sky. You're not trusting him. So we get angry or frustrated or hopeless. Here's another example where I was just visiting someone in extended care facility, and he's just, you know, what the reason this person is there, it's not here in North Carolina, so you don't know any of you know. It's just, the reason he's there is because something happened in his life. No, anyway, his wife left him. And he just, like, became hopeless because of attachment. I mean, to one thing, it's good to be hopeless about the material world. Yeah, that's good. Like that story of Pingala, where she tried to get some customers. She was standing on the street corner and, you know, calling people over. And the whole night, you know, she had some debts on her credit card or something like that she had to pay off. And then the whole night, nobody stopped. And she became hopeless and she took shelter of Krishna. You know, that's one thing. But to become so hopeless, you know, and remain attached, that'll destroy you physically, spiritually, in every which way. You understand? So basically, we just take the hand we've been dealt. And, of course, titiksha is very interesting. You know, tolerate. But doesn't mean just like, oh my God, I got to tolerate this thing, you know. Tolerate, you know, that I'm... You know, anyway, I'm not going to get into details that my wife left me or my children became demons or what else happens in this material world. Or I have this disease or I'm too tall or too short or I have to wear glasses. You know, I was like when I was young, I was, that's another thing that upset me. I had to wear glasses. Everyone was calling me four eyes. And then there was this whole thing. You know, this whole thing, what is that called? Yeah, boys seldom make passes at girls who wear glasses, you know. I don't know if you ever heard that one before. But so, of course, I wasn't a girl. But I am. I'm not that liberal. So, anyway, so it's not just a question of just tolerating, but understanding, basically, what Krishna's doing. Like, Krishna's teaching us to become detached from this material world. There's a lesson. Let's turn the volume up.
The volume's up.
There's a lesson to be learned, and that's one of detachment, basically. But this is not a place for gentlemen. So really, that's how one cultivates titiksha, which is... basically, toleration. It was an interesting discussion we had with this one gentleman last night about this. So let's go on to the whole point about brahmanas. So these are secondary qualities of a brahmana. Secondary means the qualities are there, but they come from the primary quality. The primary quality is you know you're not the body. I mean, even an impersonalist knows that. Even a stupid, atheistic, demon impersonalist knows he's not the body. It's, you know, it doesn't take much brains to figure that out. That consciousness doesn't come from the body. You know, at least it's there. So as soon as you understand that, then the secondary qualities can manifest. As soon as you live that, not simply theoretically understand that, the secondary qualities like sama dana tapakcho chan shanti rajagameva cha. That's the Bhagavad Gita, of course. Being equipoised, self-controlled, dhamma, austere, clean. All these things manifest. And therefore, because these things become manifest in you, the secondary qualities, you become capable of being a leader of society. In other words, guiding people in society. Especially this quality of sama, or shama, actually, I'm not pronouncing it right, shama, which means being equal poised. Because if you can't be equal poised, you can't give good guidance. In other words, if you have a conflict of interest, we've been talking about that in the GBC, it's interesting. We've come up with a whole policy, a conflict of interest policy. That is, if you're making a decision, you have some personal thing to gain or lose, then you should recuse yourself from that decision-making process. Do you understand what I mean? Recuse means take yourself away from the decision-making process. Unfortunately, the leaders of America or any society always have conflicts of interest. In practically every circumstance that they're making a decision on. Let's say you're a member of Congress and you're making a decision. Your conflict of interest is first of all, you know, how many votes you're going to get or lose by making a particular decision. and also you're not thinking of the greater good of, you're thinking of getting money for your estate. Just like, let's give an example of Alaska. Everyone's heard of Alaska? It's one of the 50 states in America. So the Congress people and senators from Alaska wanted more money for Alaska, so they got money to build this bridge. It's called the Bridge to Nowhere. In other words, it didn't go anywhere. But just to get money for the state, so, you know, employing people, they built a bridge to nowhere, which means basically you probably went to an island where there were like two people living and you spent $100 million to build it, something like that. So that's what I mean, like conflict of interest. You have something to gain or lose. And when you're taking a salary, you always have a conflict of interest. Because if you speak the truth, you may be afraid of losing that salary, losing your source of income. That's why a brahmana should not be taking a salary, because as soon as you get it, you know, you're controlled. As soon as you're being maintained by someone, then you lose that equanimity at that point. Because you're being controlled and maintained by someone. And that's why, let's tell a little Mahabharata thing, that's why when you have Drona, and Dronacharya, he actually was not satisfied. He wasn't Titiksha. He didn't like the hand that he was dealt. What was that hand? He was poverty stricken. You understand? And he was so poverty stricken he couldn't afford to give his son milk. Does anyone remember what his son's name was? Ashvatthama. Good old Ashvatthama. Nice Brahma Bandhu. Born in a Brahmin family, you know, relative of a Brahmin. He couldn't afford to give Ashvatthama milk. And what happened is that Ashvatthama, his friends, or you know, so-called friends, would sometimes like water down some white substance or chalk or something like that, give it to him and say, here's milk. And they would tease him like that. Because kids sometimes can be really cruel, like I said, like the four-eyed thing. Hey, four eyes. You come out to the playground, we'll beat you up, you know. Kids can be very cruel with each other. It's not that, you know, they're sweet all the time. So his friends were very cruel to him. And then the father was so upset, you know, because of its attachment, conflict of interest again, you know. His attachment to his son. I'm not saying you shouldn't be attached to your son, but if you lose that equipoise, you know, that, you know, maybe Krishna's arranged this for another purpose, then his father thought, you know, I got to find a job and get it maintained. So Dronacharya was waiting for the right moment, and there's that story in the Mahabharata that the Pandavas had, and the Kurus, had lost this ball in the well. And Dronacharya exhibited his martial skills, or at least mantra skills, whatever it is, by taking pieces of brass or straw and just like firing them like arrows at this ball, so they just piled on top of each other, and was able to pull the ball out of the well. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Like empowering straw, and one piece of straw, that's very accurate, hits another and sticks to it. It's without super glue or anything. It just stuck to it, and then he pulled it out. And the Pandavas saw it, the Kuru saw it, and they went back, running back to Grandfather Bhishma, and he said, wow, Granddaddy, look at what we just saw. And then Granddaddy, Bhishma, he understood exactly who had done it and what had happened, and then this is the whole plan. You know, Drona did that to impress the Pandavas so that he would get a job. You know, he'd add that to his CV. You understand? CV. I think most of you know what a CV is. So, and then they hired him. And he was so happy because then, you know, everybody got milk. But he was dealt a hand where he wasn't supposed to get milk. But he tried to, what is it, pull some cards out of the deck that weren't his. Isn't it like if you're playing cards and then, you know, when the dealer's not looking at you, some cards and switch them. That's cheating. And of course, with Krishna, you don't cheat. If you try to cheat, you get caught. Because the house has cameras in it, you know. They got a gambling casino, they have cameras and everybody's watching. So anyway, he tried to cheat. And as a result of that, you know, becoming an employee, he lost his Brahminical status. So much so that even as a Brahmin, he fought against devotees. I mean, the dearmost devotees of the Lord. And therefore he got killed. And Kripacharya was a similar case in that regard. So really that, you know, we're talking about Tatiksha. Really, that's a Brahmana. A Brahmana has to just accept what's been given. And, you know, if there's no money, just live like that, you know, somehow or other. I mean, just, or make a little bit, but just don't be controlled and become irreligious. There's some circumstances where, you know, I'm dealing with even disciples who had to take jobs that where they're selling meat. You know, it's something we're dealing with right now. You know, many people, they're working at what, convenience stores. You know, people think all convenience stores are right. Or they're working at a gas station where they're selling beef, you know, beef jerky. You know what beef jerky is? So, it's, you know, and they say, Gurudev, whatever, I have to make a living. But anyway, they may not be Brahmins. That's another point. So one has to be very, very careful in this regard. So then, if one is actually a Brahmana, then they can advise, then the government should take advice from such persons. So this is what Srila Prabhupada is talking about here. So actually we have to end class in a half a minute, so I don't have time to go on with any other subject matters. Any questions or comments about these things? Yes.
Yeah, it says about the ghosts. Yeah. They're superior.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're not superior spiritually, hopefully. And the Asuras are not very spiritually, but it's that they have more facility, let's say more powers in that sense. You know, the more facility of action, more powers. It's a type of body, actually, that's being talked about here, rather than spiritual superiority. You know, it's not a spiritual hierarchy. But then at the end, interestingly enough, then Krishna gets into the spiritual hierarchy at the end of the verse where he says, the Brahmanas are the best of all, not because the Brahmanas have a better body than anyone else. You know, first he's talking about bodies, the living entities and bodies, and then he gets on to spiritual qualities, which is interesting. You know, the hierarchy here is based on the physical or the bodily constitution. You know, it's more and more subtle, more and more subtle, more and more subtle. And then it turns into something spiritual at the end of the verse, as far as the hierarchy. And then, and Krishna is controlled by the Brahmanas, and as we know, Krishna is controlled by his devotees out of devotion. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yo, Premananda, Hari Hari Go. Radhika Lokananda ki jai.